Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free, no catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you.
Okay.
I feel good.
I feel great.
Me too. Hey, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's
Day. Sure, it's Valentine's Day. Do you know anyone who says it like that? Those are the worst people.
Also, I work with someone who says frustrating.
Oh,
so no. It's an endless circle of hell for me. That is
frustrating.
Yeah, and his job is very frustrating. So I hear
so
him
he
say,
says it a lot.
Man, this is so frustrating. And every time I go, it is.
Oh.
It really is.
At a day job I had once, I was on this committee that checked like grammar and spelling and tone for all outgoing correspondence. And
jeez,
the woman who ran that group was a big fan of the word grammatically.
I'm going to kill myself.
Really? Yeah, she would say, well, this isn't grammatically correct at all. I'm like, you daffy motherfucker. That is not even a word. And you are my superior here.
Oh, I don't like that. I get a lot of emails from supervisors that like I work in a very supportive environment, like good job, you're doing great, but it's you're doing great, Y-O-U-R doing great. So then I'm like, no, you're doing great. And they're like, no, you're doing great, and it's they don't get it.
I send a lot of middle finger emojis.
She's the epitome of professional discourse.
You do that at your job?
To coworkers, correct.
Oh, okay, yeah. Or that would be great if you just did it to customers too. Patrons,
yes,
whatever.
Joanne, I got your complaint. And this is my response. I will send you a $10 gift card as an apology,
right,
plus
mm-hmm.
this middle finger emoji.
And at this company, we call that breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What if they escalate it? Do they get like an eggplant or
a gun? The guns now are like water pistols.
It really sucks.
Yeah.
I don't like
they're
it.
They're not scary.
Police will still shoot you if you send them one.
Boom.
Whatever.
What?
Emojis up. Don't shoot. Or it's just that like
fine
prayer emoji. And then it says don't shoot. God. I am not a good person. I don't deserve nice things.
Oh. You do.
You do.
You're doing great.
Oh, thanks.
I know, it feels good, right?
Mm-hmm. Feels good to hear. I feel good. You're doing great. Y-O-U-R doing great. We're doing great.
This
is
welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Did we say that already?
No, we did not.
Because I was fidgeting with stuff.
Yeah,
you were also opening your Coors Light can.
You're drinking a mimosa.
Well, it's breakfast.
You're drinking actual liquor.
This is breakfast liquor.
It's
this
champagne.
Is breakfast
what
beer.
Do you mean liquor?
Is it? Yeah, I guess it's not liquor, is it?
No.
It would be weird if I was drinking regular Coors, because that's the banquet beer, and that you drink in the evening.
As a nightcap.
Coors Light.
It's a good...
It's the daytime
you're
beer.
You're easing into your day.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a very Lake Havasu beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Midwest thing.
I've never been to Lake Havasu.
That's Arizona.
I know, but like Lake Havasu is like the Midwest of Arizona. Yeah.
My dad was raised on Miller Lights.
I feel like anything involving a pontoon is a good
Miller Coors Light
kind of drinking moment. And that could be a Midwest thing. I mean, a pontoon can be on lots of different bodies of water, as I understand it. Mostly a river.
That's controversial, but agree to disagree. I like to keep my pontoons on one type of water, my canoes on another. I don't like for them to mix.
I don't think we would
whatever.
Take a
it's Trump's America
a
now.
Pontoon it is. To the high seas. I feel like that would be a bad move. Don't you think?
I feel like a good movie. Would be the one ship or whatever you call it.
The vessel.
That would last through a white squall.
I disagree.
What is a white squall?
Did you not see that movie? It's a classic. It has Ryan Phillippe in it.
It's called White Squall.
No, I have not. I feel like I wouldn't have asked the question if I'd seen White Squall.
I think we need an Unpops pontoon.
That should be the next thing that we raise money for. Besides your rent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get the pontoon first, because I could just live in that if I don't have enough money
to
live.
Let's hope it doesn't rain sideways.
Like it does in a white squall. Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, is that...
We need a white squall dinger.
Full circle moment.
That was pretty great. You look like you wanted to cheers somebody after that joke. Nobody responded.
She had a Beauty and the Beast Gaston sing-along like swerve going here. She was like, yeah.
That's going to be my new thing.
No,
I'm into it.
One fights like Gaston. Carrie's ready. Or like that bar scene in The Great Mouse Detective. There's a big sing-along.
Sure.
They're all drinking beer.
I haven't seen The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, well, you know, you don't have to. I don't think it's fine.
Well, I feel like I should now that you've brought it up. I feel bad. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I like to make
you know what else makes me feel bad? Speaking of Valentine's Day, this doesn't actually make me feel bad. Oh. It was just kind of cute. My girlfriend made you both cakes.
Oh, my gosh.
Heart-shaped cakes.
Big heart-shaped cakes.
Big heart-shaped, delicious chocolate cakes
like
with
two fist
strawberry
size,
frosting.
Like I would say, the size of a double fist situation.
Yeah.
It's a big, really, hearty cake. It's like
really big cakes.
Yeah.
And then sitting next to your big cakes was my little cupcake.
Yes.
You got one little...
I got a little baby cupcake.
I was laughing. I was like, is that yours? Thinking there's no way it could be. And it was.
Yeah, Adam's girlfriend really loves Carrie and I. We're her favorite.
It has pink frosting and chocolate drizzle.
Yeah, but
that's
which
somebody really likes.
She
you.
Made the strawberry frosting out of actual strawberries.
You can tell.
Did she?
It's so
strawberry
good.
Buttercream.
This is honestly the best cake I've ever had. I'm not a cake. I'm a pie person. I don't want to start a huge turf war here, but
yeah, pie is pretty great.
But just let Angela know for next time. Let her know, maybe.
Listen, I really loved the heart-shaped cake. Great effort. Beautiful execution. One thing. I'm more of a pie person. Blueberries and lemons. Blueberries and lemons?
Isn't that your,
what?
Your specialty? I won't forget about the muffins.
Yeah, but those are muffins. This is a pie thing. I'm so stressed out now. Like, stressed out.
I like to keep my blueberries and my lemons in different desserts.
Otherwise, we go to hell.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's this remarkable, wonderful cake that she made us. And apparently she only made Adam a single serving of cupcake.
But I get, like, she makes baked goods all the time. And I
you can tell by making.
All the time.
She's great. We should take her out for Valentine's since Adam isn't.
Yeah, we really should.
She wouldn't go. She's very anti-Valentine's Day.
Okay, so then the plan is we're going to take her out to lunch and then bamboozle her and surprise her and say, sorry, too bad, it's Valentine's Day.
Hire a mariachi band.
This is what you get for making a pie person a cake.
Yeah.
All right. We'll spray her with a water bottle so she learns her lesson.
She's like, yeah. Oh, man.
Then make her eat pie.
Lemon and blueberry, you don't like them together? Too bad.
A lemon pie, not lemon meringue.
Just lemons.
Yep, just a nice, like, curdled rind situation in pie filling.
Oh.
Hey, did you guys ever have a really bad Valentine's Day? I feel like everybody's had a really remarkably bad Valentine's Day, but some people haven't, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really have any crazy Valentine's Day stories.
I just want to get
Mine
points for the...
Mine have all been pretty unremarkable.
The stance I took on my pitch for the question. Like, oh, everybody's had a bad Valentine's Day. Oh, but maybe some haven't.
I had an interesting one.
Shocking.
But it
You were... Oh, my God, you were right, Caitlin.
God, I'm so relieved.
Because you see how I didn't, but Carrie did?
Yeah. So my backing off that 50-50 is actually landing me back in like a nice seat of authority. Carrie, go on. Tell us about this Valentine's Day.
Please.
It didn't happen to me, but it did happen to my friend that we went on a double date with. So
right there, that's a bad Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't exactly remember what happened. I mean, it was years ago. But at one point, her date left. So it was me, this girl, and then the guy I was dating at the time. So, of course, I'm like, what's more romantic than going to a dive bar?
Sure, sure.
With several people.
With multiple people.
Yeah.
So we did.
Always the people pleaser.
Yep. Just
trying to make everybody feel good about their Valentine's Day. That's why I love Carrie.
And my girlfriend had drank so much alcohol. There was one point where she was sitting on a bar stool and her legs were up on the bar stool next to her. And we locked eyes. And she and she started peeing.
did not see that coming.
Just
no,
coming down.
I didn't either.
So I was like, okay, I'll take her home.
Yeah, that's the cue.
So my boyfriend stayed and he goes, it was so awkward. Like the bartender comes out and he's like mopping it up. And you know he's already pissed that he's working on Valentine's and not yeah. with like a loved one.
Yeah.
And
but probably not the first time he's cleaned his pee. So let's
yeah,
be
I
honest.
Guess he was okay. My boyfriend's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And he was like, oh, it's okay. Like it happens.
If you're a bartender, you're also a janitor. There's no way around it.
Some, oh, yeah,
I mean,
you
you're dealing with bodily fluid no matter what if you're doing a bartending gig.
So she fell asleep in my back seat and we didn't have far to go, but she was cold and I had just had some clothes in there from an 80s party I'd went to. So she had
Of course you have a costume in your fucking car, Carrie.
So she threw on this off the shoulder, like Pat Benatar shirt over her.
You're such a good friend.
And then she goes upstairs and she was like, I can't get in, like the key won't work.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't figure it out. So I left her there. And it's And went home.
Yeah.
Because my boyfriend at the time said he was going to stop by and help her. And then we just never communicated about it again. So he came back to my place and we went to bed. And like an hour later, I get a call from her and she goes, I'm still outside. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. So we went back and she like came out of the darkness. Like, I don't know if she went bar hopping or something in the inner rim, but she came out of the darkness and she's wearing like a green dress with like my black off the shoulder Pat Benatar shirt over it. At one point she'd thrown up on herself.
Nice.
Anyway,
saw that coming.
That's yeah. fine.
Love is a battlefield.
True that.
The worst Valentine's Day I ever had, I was dating this guy. He was the guy that was so boring I bought Rufus. He was the guy that we were walking through a mall and I was trying to tune him out and I ended up buying a dog. But
just to tune him out?
Yes.
Nice.
Still have the dog. Anyway, he was also the guy that confused Oscar Mayer with Oscar Wilde.
Wait, tell Rufus.
Damn.
By the way, was a clearance dog.
He was on clearance.
Even
good boy.
During
good
boy. Heartbreak.
Yeah.
Caitlin is always looking for a deal.
I am looking for a deal.
Why was he on clearance?
Exactly. Because okay. It was an Orange County pet store.
Yeah.
I walked.
Let's not ask. We don't want to know.
I did. And I was like, so what's the deal with the dog in the window? And he's like, oh, well, he's been here for a while. And then we just kind of looked at each other. I'm like, uh-huh. That's what clearance usually means anyway. But like to put an animal on clearance, like what happens if he doesn't sell? Like, oh, he goes to a secondary pet store. I'm like, oh, that's not a thing. Okay, you're going to kill the dog. How much for the dog? Like, I'm just going to buy the dog. So this guy, the one and only Valentine's Day we shared together, in the course of us dating, he had become a vegan. Which I should have known at that point things were not going to work out because I'm not going to ever be a vegan. It's not.
No, that's gross.
It's not going to happen.
It's really gross.
He took me to a vegan restaurant for Valentine's Day.
Nope.
And they served.
It's all about what he wants.
Exactly. No,
on Valentine's.
He was the worst. Anyway, so we go and we sit down and the lady's like, well, she gives this whole speech about the digestive system and how certain foods should be served in the beginning. And then she's like, you know, dessert should really be served in the beginning of the meal. And then this guy that I was dating and her start laughing hysterically, like, and I was just sitting there and I'm like, no, it shouldn't. Like, that was just my response. They're like, it has to do with how we digest things. I'm like, uh-huh. So what are you getting at? So then they serve me fake strawberry ice cream made out of an avocado.
What? Although avocados are delicious, I did not see that coming.
That would be a good sound bite. Just me and you in unison going, what?
No, you got to save that for the soundboard forever. Yeah. Look, I love the avocado. The avocado is the butter of all plants. Like, it softens the blow of a lot of different foods. I'll give you that. But this was the dumbest thing. It was just stupid tasting. It just tasted stupid. And the whole time I was sitting there thinking, like, this guy's such a twat. Why am I dating this guy, right? And then the whole time he's twat. Like, he was a twat. He was such a fucking twat. I couldn't stand that. When we broke up, he said that the reason why I was so clumsy was because I was self-absorbed. I'm like, that's not a thing. You can't just say something like that.
How would those two things even correlate?
I came home while we were breaking up, and he was sitting in the kitchen, like Indian style, sitting on the floor by himself in the dark with the dog that I had bought on clearance. Oh. I was like, oh, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Did you guys live together?
We did live together. Yeah. Well, I had been dating... I had been dating another roommate before when we all moved in, and then that guy moved out, and I started dating the other guy.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
What could go wrong?
What a little vixen, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really care at that point. I was just kind of throwing spaghetti against the wall.
I like to see what sticks, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that I had explained that to myself to make sure I had what analogy you were going for correct.
Yeah, to see what sticks.
Yes. Boo! Got it.
Boo! There was another one.
I like that you got clarity on Valentine's Day at a vegan restaurant eating avocado with strawberry ice cream.
Yeah, before the rest of the meal, mind you, again. Like, let's come back to that. I remember, too, because, like, we ate the dessert in the beginning, and then she walked up. She goes, so is everybody ready for dinner? And I was like, nobody got it. And then at one point, oh, yeah, she looked at me. I forgot. This was, like, 10 years ago, but she looked at me, and she's like, don't worry, we do serve pasta. Like, it was like the entry,
Jesus.
like so horrible. And she had these huge earplugs. Not that there's anything wrong with earplugs, but it was like all part of this. The place smelled like patchouli. I was so mad.
Oh, no.
I was so mad. I broke up with him so hard in a car.
She had
it was great.
Earplugs like the big holes.
Yeah, like those big like discs.
Oh, the gauges.
Gauges.
Yeah. We just covered a story on the weekly on Pop Show about a woman whose python dove through her ear
stuck.
Hole and got stuck. Because pythons love holes.
Literally, when I saw that you guys covered that, I'm not kidding, I thought about this woman and was like, I hope it was her. I couldn't... we served dessert first!
I mean, how big was that hole?
It was about that big, maybe.
Because I feel like pythons are big, right?
Yeah, but they gradually get right because the head is the head was big enough to fit through there.
Yeah,
what a stupid python!
And it's a smaller python.
By
and
the way,
she had it around her neck, and it was like, oh.
I've Googled this since like multiple times. Yeah. I have found no evidence that eating dessert first makes any sense. So on top of it all being abusive, it was wrong. I just wanted to say it. Worst Valentine's Day ever. It was awful.
I have a friend who has another pair of friends.
This is good.
That had a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they used to sleep with it on their bed at night.
No.
Nope. Pass. Hard pass.
And it would sleep in the middle of them.
Nope.
And at one point.
No.
Because it would elongate.
Uh-huh.
Between them. Nope. And at one point, they're like, he's not eating. So they took him to the vet. Like, is he sick? And the vet's like, no, he's sizing you up at night because he's going to eat one of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you don't do that.
Yeah.
That's not even funny to me.
Yeah. Like, I hope I saved somebody's life.
And then you come home and talk to him about it, and he's like, what? I'm a snake.
What do you want from me? I'm a fucking snake.
A fucking snake from West Virginia.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, see? You caught on.
West Virginia of all
things.
We are
so in sync. It's so good to have you back, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
Things really got weird when you weren't here. I mean,
that's
we
what
really,
I heard, but yeah, again, you, great reviews.
You anchor us very well.
Yeah.
Which, again, I have never been called the glue of anything. So thank you.
Oh, so in order to really enhance all of the magic and romance surrounding Valentine's Day, we picked a really great topic.
We picked a fantastic topic.
We picked the St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
Whee!
Which ironically has nothing to do with Valentine's Day.
Nope, yep. This is more of an SEO thing than anything else. I mean, what were we going to do? Like bad no.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any of that.
Wacky
I did pitch people who have died of a broken heart, but I got
a hard veto from me on that.
Got a hard veto. Like,
mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that.
But after the refugees episode, it felt like...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know how many... Yeah. Also, Debbie Reynolds just died of that. And
oh, yeah.
Wasn't even... Anyway.
Debbie Reynolds was a refugee?
A refugee from a broken heart, Carrie.
Oh, God. It's a good day.
Things you don't know.
It is a good
day. This is a good day. Anyway, all right. So... You want to kick off this little story for us, Adam? Story time.
Yes. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre. For those unfamiliar, at 10:30 a.m. on Valentine's Day in 1929, 7 men were murdered at the garage at 2122 North Clark Street. Shout out. Stop by Nuts on Clark if you visit. Lots of great treats there.
Jeff May joke.
There will be some Jeff May jokes coming because when we get to the victims, it's so.
All right, just
there's a lot of synergy here. This happened in the Lincoln Park area. Linkin, I believe that's how it's spelled. No, is it?
Yeah, because that band. Also spelled it this way.
And this park is named after that.
I really hope this is where they got their stupid name.
I think it is.
But it's not. I made that up. Oh. But that's not actually. It's just regular Lincoln Park.
I will take any opportunity to shit all over Lincoln Park. I really
don't. They're so bad.
I can't. Well, God, like, shut up.
Yeah, any band that talks about wounds that won't heal, it's like, you shut the fuck up. I have problems of my own. I have friends who have problems. I don't need yours.
I have friends that are diabetic who literally have wounds that won't heal. This is not funny. You should say trigger warning before any of your goddamn songs.
Oh, they're so bad. So two of the... everyone was shot using Thompson submachine guns, which were the shit back then. Two of the shooters were dressed as uniformed policemen, and the others wore suits, ties, overcoats, and hats.
Hot.
Looking sharp on Valentine's Day.
You gotta... Mm-hmm. You
probably
gotta.
Had dates that night.
Mm-hmm. Zoot suits.
Zoot suit riot.
Riot. I was ready.
Thank you. There were 5 victims of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Or no, there were 7 victims. I'm sorry. But 5 of the victims were members of George Bugs Moran's Irish Northside Gang.
Here's a story.
They were Albert Kachelik, alias James Clark, which... I get it, because that's a bitch of a last name.
Yeah, you're going to have to develop something a little bit more streamlined if your name is Albert Kachelik.
You want a street name.
Yeah, with all the reservations you're going to make out there, you got to just narrow it down.
Do we give another shout out to Clark Nuts? Or Nuts on Clark?
Oh, no. I get what you mean.
Pew, pew, pew.
If I could draw a penis coming out of his mouth,
yeah,
I would.
You would. You just would.
He was Moran's second in command and brother-in-law. Good luck explaining that to the wife.
Fuck. Okay.
Adam Hayer was a gang bookkeeper and business manager. Albert Weinschenk managed several cleaning businesses for Moran. And Frank and Peter Gusenberg were enforcers. And then also killed were Reinhard Schwimmer, a former optician turned gambler, as one does, and gang associate. And John May.
Oh, my God.
Who was
yes.
an occasional mechanic for the gang.
I just have a question. Gang bookkeeper and business manager?
You know how they're getting booked?
That's a CV right there. I just think it's really funny. Like
they were regulars at the comedy store.
Oh, God.
At Ciro's.
Yeah.
All the weird conversations you're going to have. Like, listen, Adam, here's the deal. We need somebody to really rein in our finances, you know, because we're running thin here. We got too many late nights, too many sexy dates. So then Adam has like the awful job of being like, guys, this costs way too much. Your suits are out of control. Like, it's a stupid job.
Yeah, it would be an awkward job.
With our company credit cards. We're going to have audits.
Oh, no.
Right?
What?
It doesn't matter. I was just trying to contribute. Go on.
I'm pretty sure that they're conducting audits because of that attitude, Carrie. I just want to toss that out there. I mean,
I'd be the first person killed in any gang.
Noted. They're going to get to her first, Adam. We're good.
Yeah, we're safe.
I would drink too much of that bootlegged liquor.
Everybody
and I would
did.
Talk. Stitches get stitches. And something about graves.
That's you.
Yep.
That's on your headstone. Snitches get stitches and something about graves. Your life,
I think
Carrie
it's
Martin.
Snitches get stitches and dig ditches.
Four graves?
Maybe that, yeah, I think maybe for a grave.
I don't think grave. I think you're just mistaken ditches and graves, which it's an easy mistake. Should be graves.
Well, really,
but for
a
rhyming
grave is
purposes.
Just a ditch is really just a really long grave.
Yeah. A grave is just a really useful ditch.
Trying to think of what rhymes with graves. You guys continue.
Braves.
I'll figure this out.
Faves.
Daves. Famous
Daves. Daves. Famous Daves.
You're a Dave.
Dave
and
Buster's.
Going to be a grave digger. Grave digging Dave.
Whole grave digging Dave.
He's out of the gang.
Dave Matthews has a song called Grave Digger.
Good.
Oh, Dave digging grave. Dave digging grave. God damn it.
Dude.
Us.
Dave Matthews.
He's the worst.
His fans are the worst. His music is whatever. I don't care about his music, but it's just like hours of like...
Crash
into you. She wakes up in the morning.
So obnoxious. It's the fucking worst.
Take these.
He's got a fucking fiddle player. Stop it.
He made a deal with the devil. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's every Dave Matthews song. I like The Ants Go Marching. That's a good one. I'm ready. I'm done. Those are all of my Dave Matthews opinions. I have nothing left.
I like Crush. Crush is a good Dave Matthews song.
Is that different than Crash?
I know.
Yes, it is.
He should not have done that.
I agree.
No,
I disagree. Yeah, we'll just replace one letter. No one will notice.
Yeah.
Crush into me.
And then if he has Krish. Crush.
No.
What? You could have said...
anything. You know, you could have said anything and it would have made more
know.
Sense.
I don't know.
Krish with a
Dear
Y?
Dear Dave Matthews, solid suggestion.
That's Dave Matthews writing Carrie. He listens to the podcast.
Dear Carrie.
Enclosed is a demo for Krish. I hope you like it.
Tell me what you think.
It's just 70 hours of jamming. God.
So there is some good news from the victim count.
Okay,
speaking
yeah, I
of
forgot
Saint
we were
Valentine's
still
Day.
Doing this.
John May's very good puppy named Highball survived.
Oh, he's a good boy.
He's a good puppy.
He's a good puppy.
And he lived.
I like that. It's John May's dog.
Yeah.
John May's dog.
John May's dog.
Highball is a great dog name.
It is.
That's a great
especially
dog
during
name.
Prohibition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's ballsy.
Probably how he got it.
This
it's
is my
ballsy.
Oh my God.
You just made up for Krish with that one. Good job.
Yeah. That was pretty great.
That was an actual pun.
As Adam and I were walking up here, he's like, I miss you. I haven't seen you in a while. I was like, well, it sounds like your episodes with Caitlin went really well. Do you even need me? And he was like, no, we don't.
Well, I suggested that Caitlin should just do it by herself.
Carrie's worst nightmare. No one needs me.
I do. I suffer from FOMO.
I know. It's okay.
No FOMO.
No FOMO. Yeah. No FOMO.
FOMO, no graves.
I like fuck. I like Highball.
Yeah. Highball's a good puppy.
It's a good puppy.
And speaking of snitches, when the police arrived at the scene, they found Frank Gusenberg still alive.
Ooh.
And they kept him alive long enough to talk to police. And despite having been shot 14 times,
oh my God.
When the police asked him who shot him, he replied, no one shot me.
No snitching.
Hashtag no snitching.
That Carrie would say that.
Yeah.
Carrie would do that. See, you joke.
I'm still here.
I know. My thing is.
She's back, like, Caitlin.
You always say, like, oh, I would talk or I'm the weak one. But the thing about you, Carrie, is that, like, your fear of social isolation would extend even to the death door.
Deathbed.
Yeah, you would be laying on the street. They'd be like, Carrie, just tell us who shot you. No, nobody shot me. I'm fine. You guys need a drink? Like, that's Carrie.
You want some cheese? I've got brie. I've got American. I have goat.
I have 12 blocks of different cheese. And then her grave.
Well, I love that they kept him alive long enough to find out. And then they're like, all right, we got nothing else for you.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, you're going to die now.
That's hardcore.
Well, he'd been shot 14 times by machine guns.
What the most times you can get shot and like what's the record?
And not dying or just in general?
And then eventually dying? Like the fact that he didn't immediately die.
I feel like not dying would make that more interesting than
Well, 50
and
Cent
dying.
Was, what, 9, I think?
Yeah, he was way behind.
And he's now a CEO, so maybe that's what I'm doing wrong. I haven't been shot up yet.
I don't think that's a sign of you doing anything wrong, not being shot. I just want you to, I really want to take that off the table for your bucket list that you're so serious about.
Shot 15 times?
No, I will not help you achieve this goal.
It looks like 21.
To survive? Wow.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Shot in the face.
Well,
five times, walked out of the house and drove away.
That's adrenaline right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it looks like it's 21 times.
Adam, how did you find the 90s version of the internet again?
Oh, I don't know what the high road
was. I think,
was.
Like, you...
But I was looking at... I initially got my... I don't know what smh.com is. So never mind.
Okay,
also
well,
stupid.
Great.
Oh, the Sydney Morning Herald.
Well, duh.
Put a shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, that was bad.
All right, governor.
I'm a lady, I am.
Oh. That guy was
That guy's shot. Australian? Oh.
Angel Alvarez.
Oh, way to shatter expectations.
Yeah, but is the Sydney Herald covering something out of town?
Yeah, this is the Sydney Herald covering something in New York City.
This makes sense. He's probably from the Bronx.
Wow, Sydney's a fun town.
Or Queens.
The Boogie Down.
Yes, the Boogie Down. Boogie Down Productions.
So getting back to...
BDP, if you will.
Go ahead.
Getting back to the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. They think Al Capone planned it.
Oh, did they?
And the reason they think that, and I feel like it's still a stretch, but in 1924, Al Capone had Dion O'Banion, who was the head of the Northside Gang, murdered, and then he had every... other successive leader of the Northside Gang murdered as well.
Oh,
so then why would you think it's a stretch?
I was joking.
Oh,
well, joke
so
there.
Stupid
no, comedy
you're
joke.
Throwing you're good. Some, you're good.
Throwing some comedy.
You're good.
Okay. I would rather talk about Dave Matthews now. I'm embarrassed.
what happened to cool names? David O'Banion is a great name.
Yeah, Dion. David O'Banion. Yeah, Dion.
Sorry, Dion O'Banion.
And it's spelled like the white Dion, which I think fell out of favor in the late 60s.
The Prohibition era?
Yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, I think you're right about that. I think the late
How many 60s, white Dions do you know now?
Zero. I've never heard of a None. White Dion until today.
Well, there was the singer in
fact,
the 60s,
in my
Dion.
Mind, in my
Warwick?
Mind, that
he
was...
He sang Mellow Yellow.
Oh.
Dionne Warwick is a black woman.
Dion, the singer.
I know. But...
Oh, did you say Warwick?
Yes. I'll handle this, Adam.
Okay, thank you.
So he was murdered at a flower show? So in public?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we're getting ahead, I think.
No, it was in what you just read.
Oh, yeah. He owned a flower shop, and that's where...
Oh, in a flower shop. The flower show.
Oh, well, because I wrote flower show, but...
I apologize.
You scared her.
For being able to read.
You freaked her out so much that she became hyper-religious about your goddamn notes. And now she's convinced that there is a flower show in... Chicago.
Oh my God, that sounds so pretty.
But not something you would think of a gang leader being a part of.
Who knew the Macy's?
But he owned a flower shop.
Okay, that I can get on board with.
Yeah. Well, that was in the, was it the Departed or the Town where one of the, I think it was the Town where one of the main
it was the town.
Criminals
It was the town. Oh, a flower shop. Yeah, that's the town.
Good cover. Makes you seem not like a murderer.
Although I have I have to say I have walked into flower shops that felt like a cover of some kind.
Oh yeah.
Cuz it's like you look around and you're like, there are four arrangements in here and nobody seems interested in helping me. So okay. Yeah. All right. This is not
whenever I see like a hosiery shop, I'm like, what heroin ring are you covering for?
Chinese restaurants also do a lot of that covering up.
I think a lot of restaurants do.
Do you remember that one on Second Street that was like never open? It was like Golden China. It was right next to New York Pizza. Never opened.
It never opened. Oh, because it was a cover. I mean, there was no, but yes. There were lights on and stuff, but nobody was allowed
in. Their hours were from like 12 to 2 and on Saturday. That was it.
I knew that. I know what she's talking about because I went to college in that town and used to get super
Long
high.
Long Beach State?
Yeah, go Beach. And I would think like, man, I wish that Chinese place was open. It never was. Yeah.
And yeah, there was a private bar in Madison, Wisconsin, right by my house.
Nope.
And I used to always just want to go in. Like, wow, what is it?
Right?
You should have.
What is it?
I mean, in hindsight, don't you feel silly not trying?
Oh, I probably would have got murdered.
I don't think
so. It was in a sketchy area.
Oh.
You know all those sketchy areas of Madison, Wisconsin?
Yes.
I don't know. I just saw Fargo, the last season of Fargo. There is some organized crime out there in the Midwest, from what I understand.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Linkin Park.
So speaking of organized crime,
keep going.
Getting back into the investigation, the police knew that Bugs Moran's gang was hijacking Al Capone's Detroit liquor shipments. So they focused on Detroit's predominantly Jewish purple gang, because that's how gangs in Chicago broke down back then.
Good name.
By colors?
By their ethnic background. There were Irish gangs, Italian gangs, Jewish gangs.
But you lead with the color purple?
The purple gang.
I feel like that signs you up for a lot of regrettable wardrobe choices. That's like joining the Red Hat Society and being like, oh, shit.
Yeah, for sure.
They really do wear red hats.
God, I gotta buy a red hat? Not good. Make America Great Again, I guess. That's the hat that they're picking.
Ugh.
I know. Sorry. No. Mm. Yeah, but there purple gang, I don't...
It's not the strongest name.
Seems like an M. Night Shyamalan choice. Also, how big are your balls if you're hijacking anything coming from Al Capone?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think people just didn't realize what Al Capone was going to turn into. Like, he probably, for a while there, just seemed like a typical gang boss.
Like a middle-class gang boss?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they were Jack and Al Capone. Three of their mugshots were picked out by two landladies who owned a boarding house across the street.
They were fed up.
Mrs. Orvidson, and the other one's name was Mrs. Duty.
And then 12-year-old Adam, right underneath, writes again, Mrs. Duty, in all caps, bold font.
Bold, lots of exclamation points. Mrs. Duty.
Wait, so the gang members were smart enough to develop a nickname, but Mrs. Duty, nobody said anything to Mrs. Duty?
Maybe that was her nickname.
We have proof that there were nicknames back then, for sure.
So many nicknames.
So many nicknames, but Mrs. Duty, we stuck with that one.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised she turned people in. I'll say that. She doesn't seem like a forward-thinking woman.
No, but she later wavered and went back on her testimony.
Right, because somebody walked up and like, hey, Mrs. Duty, you and I got to talk. I'll show you Duty. I'm going to make you Duty yourself. Sit down. I know you're my landlady, but I've paid on time. I've been nice. Nothing smells bad. Why you got to talk to the cops? Why did you have to do that, Mrs. Duty? Mrs. fucking Duty. Fucking Duty.
This is almost as good as her Werner. Mm. I'm just... Keep going.
Yes, please.
Now I'm in like a weird headspace because I'm imagining this like lady who's been okay with her name Mrs. Duty for all the... What? What's wrong with Mrs. Duty? I don't get it. Everybody laughs when I introduce myself.
Well, of course it was a landlady. They had nothing to do but collect rent and look out their windows.
I just want to go on record saying I married into this last name, okay? My last name was Schmidt. It was fine. Nobody ever laughed when I introduced myself, but my husband's a good man. He's a good man, or he was, God rest his soul. But I just, you know, I'm not going to go by somebody else's name unless I married into
it. Our Rich Little, I tell you.
Really? Yeah.
I'm back now.
I like your better as Mrs. Duty.
Yeah, if you could just be Mrs. Duty.
For the rest of the episode, you want Mrs. Duty? Nobody ever... Are you making fun of me again?
No.
I get this a lot. I get all... Everybody always says, oh, Mrs. Duty, come over here. And they laugh. They got nothing. They just want to say my name out loud. You try to order Chinese food with the last name Mrs. Duty.
Poor Mrs. Duty.
Fucking Duty.
Sucks.
But seriously, she didn't have good friends.
No. Or just not the good sense to lie to police. Give a fake name. Say you don't want to say your
maybe,
name.
Maybe you just unlocked the whole thing. Maybe she's like, my name is Mrs. Duty. Mrs. Duty. Yeah.
She did it. More like Mrs. Shooty.
Oh.
Right?
Hey-o.
Hey.
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 You did great. You're doing great, Adam.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anyway, that's a hell of a name. So, okay, you got Mrs. Duty turning them in.
And then she goes back on it.
Right.
I mostly just threw that in so we could bring up Mrs. Duty.
Good job.
Otherwise, that was completely useless information.
That was the best part of the episode so far.
I agree. But on February 22nd, police found a burning car at a garage on Wood Street. There's a fire on Wood Street.
Hey-o. You got some hot stuff, baby, this evening.
Dick innuendo?
Huh?
This is a penis innuendo?
Nope.
Nope.
No, it's more, it's fire, more of wood. Like, it's more of like a larger sexual metaphor. I don't know if it's...
Okay.
Anyway, they found it in 1927.
Syphilis was prevalent back then. Did it?
It sure was.
Wasn't there somebody in a prison who was a gangster who went blind or crazy from syphilis?
Al Capone.
Al Capone. Carrie brought
it back.
I feel
like I'm back.
Yeah.
Do I win anything?
You won that.
I'm taking this wolf clock. I'm
it's only been 39 minutes.
I know. It feels so much longer. We've been talking about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre for about 9 of those minutes. This always happens.
I know. Well, I mean, what's interesting about a bunch of people getting shot, really?
Quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, says the man who put all the notes together. Caitlin, I think there's a lot to be discussed here.
We have a lot to get through. We have a lot to get through.
Oh, God.
Pretty scary boo.
Boo.
So they managed to trace this car back to the people who did the killing through a bunch of old-timey police work that I didn't even think was possible in the 1920s.
Such as?
They engine number they traced to a Michigan Avenue dealer who had sold it to a James Morton of Los Angeles. And the garage that sold the engine was rented by a man named Frank Rogers, who gave his address as 1859 West North Avenue.
Oops.
Which happened to be the address of the Circus Cafe. And the Circus Cafe was owned by Claude Maddox, a former St. Louis gangster with ties to the Capone organization.
Hey-o.
It's also where the killers waited until they received the signal indicating their Valentine's Day targets had arrived. All that without so much as a Yahoo group or an AIM chat room to work with. They also found no tangible information about the identity of the killers. They just kind of found out who owned the car. Good job, cops.
I'm trying to... Go ahead, Carrie.
No, that's some salt of the earth detective work back when they had to go and knock on doors.
I'm trying to figure out if the Pinkerton unit had anything to do with this Capone stuff. Because I know the Pinkerton police force, they were the first... They were the precursor, really, of the FBI. They were, like, the first wave of all of this. So I think a lot of this happened because people didn't know they could get caught this way at that time.
I think the FBI eventually, though... I don't know if I put it in the notes, but the FBI eventually got extra information. Oh, yeah, I left that whole guy out. There was another guy who came forward and gave all this information about who the killers were, but he gave it to the FBI, and the FBI didn't want to be involved in the case, so they just kind of sat on
the information.
Well,
that happens a lot. Yeah. I think most great cop movies in general are about different forces and units not wanting to work together.
Yeah.
That to me is the most interesting.
Like 9/11, the greatest cop story of all time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was thinking...
Ben Affleck in that?
Yeah, of course.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Really? Is this a real thing? I thought you were joking. Okay, I really got freaked out.
But that
out
was
for
how
second.
9/11 happened. All these departments had information that they didn't share.
Right.
No, I was thinking more like The Departed. But yeah, I mean, if you want to bring it back to something that really happened and be an asshole about it, Adam, then yeah, I guess 9/11 is a great example of a bunch of police forces not working together.
Fine. So.
Jesus!
Can I go on, Caitlin?
No, please. No, carry on. Not that I matter.
I could read if you guys are busy.
We're very angry.
Everything's fine. I just drank my mimosa out of my mason jar.
I know. It wasn't very hard. No. You know, like, you should be doing, like, a shot or something.
I think this... I've got a shot left of it.
Oh, so where were... Oh, their first lead. It came from a truck driver named Elmer Lewis. A truck driver, he turned a corner a block away from the scene and sideswiped what he thought was a police car. But he was immediately waved away by a uniformed driver who was also missing a front tooth. Which, fix that before you go out and do your crimes.
Yeah, that makes you a little easy to spot.
Yeah. And also another witness, H. Wallace Caldwell, the president of the Board of Education, gave the same description. And police immediately recognized the man they were describing as Fred. You ready for this nickname?
I can't wait.
Killer Burke.
I wonder what he does.
Yeah. I wonder
where his gifts lie.
He was a former member of the Egan's Rats.
He's just
gang.
A really good stand-up comedian. He kills.
I wonder how you figure out if it's like Rush, like in a sorority, where like how do you figure out which
on,
gang
Carrie.
You want to be a part of? Oh, like, you... I would want to be a part of the Rats, not the Purple Gang.
Yeah, I'd much rather right? be a rat than a purple person.
But back then, rat was synonymous with snitching.
But so maybe this is a joke. Like, it's a play on words.
No, yeah, I don't know. Because Egan's Rats were one of the gangs that they eventually decided were part of the shooting.
Nobody respected Egan's Rats, though.
Nobody.
It's the power of marketing, really.
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to go to Rance's Pizza. There's a Rance pizza place near our house.
Rance?
Rance.
R-A...
N something C-E. I'm sure there might be an I in there. I don't know. But I remember I was driving, and my husband and I, we both in unison went, Rance's Pizza? Like, no, I'm
yeah,
not going to eat.
Stupid.
Just now.
That's too close to Rancid, first of all.
Yes.
So you got an association issue there. But secondly, like, I don't want to know anybody named Rance. Rance sounds a little on the edge for me.
There's a place in Santa Monica. I'm sure they still haven't fixed the sign, but it's called Classic Pizza. But the I fell off the sign, so now it just says Class C Pizza.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's really great.
That's cute. Adorable.
It is adorable.
I like it.
Maybe they didn't have a good dental program. I've been thinking about this while you guys were talking.
That's good.
The bookkeeper. By the way, this year for a dental package, sorry, we didn't have enough funds for
a
good package. You get one cleaning a year.
We brought you on just before open enrollment. You could not have picked a better time to join our rat game.
Egan's Rats.
We only offer PPOs.
We're going to send you to Megan. She's head of Egan's Rats HR.
This is our platinum program. And it's 2% off of every paycheck, if you think about it. Not a big deal.
Not a big deal at all.
Not a lot. And if you want to talk about unloaded cargo, think about just like a tablespoon of each of those little packages that you're taking. Just take it away. No big deal.
One side note, doesn't cover gunshot wounds. Those are excluded. That's extra coverage.
Your deductible covers up to 7 gunshot wounds a year. After that, you're going to have to pay out of pocket.
What's the family plan? I also feel like they had a lot
14
of kids.
14 gunshots.
We also have a really lucrative and helpful mistress program. Now, obviously, it's very discreet. You're going to pay it through a separate account. Don't have kids if you're in this group. We don't cover your children.
No.
But we would like a picture of them, please.
So, yeah, the police immediately recognized Fred Killer Burke.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he would stick out.
As a guy who would routinely wear police uniforms whenever he committed robberies and also was missing a goddamn tooth.
They figured that out so long ago. Uniforms are so powerful.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me that people don't do this all the time. I mean,
and
I hate
flashing lights.
Yeah.
Like, if you just have a set of flashing lights on your car... pull someone over.
Yeah, or you could just keep people away in general.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other part of it, is you just, like, you keep the flashing lights going, and they're like, oh, he's got to be a person with the thing connected to the government.
I've also seen a lot of shows lately about the bump and rob, or the bump and rape, where somebody will, like, bump your car, and then you're kind of like, oh, like, obviously I'm a good person, I'm going to stop and exchange insurance information
Terrifying.
With them.
So scary.
Yeah. They get raped.
The other powerful piece of I don't know how to hide behind people's like general norms is a pizza box. So that's how Steven Spielberg used to get on the Universal lot. He would just carry a pizza box on the lot and nobody would stop him.
That makes sense.
Then he escalated it to a briefcase. And again, nobody would stop him. In the very beginning, that's how he did it.
How crazy would it be if next week he goes in and shoots the place up?
I used to do that for Christmas parties.
We have to come back. That thing we said about Steven Spielberg escalating? Whoa!
Listen, we really were joking. But great news, Steven Spielberg is a fan of Unpopped. We will, Steven, we'll send you a pair of more DVD.
Don't worry, Carrie's going to write you. You'll be out of this in no time.
Dear Steven, my name is Carrie. I live in Hollywood, California. I like sushi. What do you like?
Please write me back if you have time.
If you have time, it's my favorite. Even in jail, Steven Spielberg is very busy.
He could be Aaron Hernandez, which we'll talk about on a future episode.
Next week.
But he gets lots of letters.
I like to imagine Steven Spielberg in jail and just one inmate after another, like, hey, you want a story? I got a story for you. It's just like all
like pitching
these,
him ideas.
Yeah, all these like pitches, and he comes out like better than ever. But I really hope that this is all not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I need Steven Spielberg to stay a good guy forever.
Yeah, I suppose.
I need him to. I can't handle a Walt Disney thing happening to Steven Spielberg where I find out he's kind of a Nazi. Like, I can't. I mean, obviously Steven Spielberg is not a Nazi, but whatever. I just don't want to hear.
Yeah, what a twist that would be.
What if he's part of, like, the Jewish League of Assassins or whatever that we discussed a couple episodes
ago? He was, like, a KKK member?
Yeah, that would be rough.
He's, like, best friends with David Duke.
Oh, God.
I used to
No, David Duke. No, I'm just kidding.
I used to rate David Duke. We were pen pals for a while. He also likes sushi. I used to crash Christmas company Christmas parties
with a pizza
and
box?
Weddings. No, because you're already like I was already dressed up and I'd be at like the hotel and it's like, oh, I'm just gonna go in here and like just start dancing. But every single time they would know. So one time this lady came up and she was like asking me questions and I was like, oh yeah, like how are your kids? Or I was trying to act like I was a part of it. And she was HR, like, and you could see like it was going to happen because they were like, all of a sudden one person looks and then another person and then they start talking and then they start looking at you and whispering. The last time I was in Hermosa Beach and we were going into the Shade Bar. And
the last time you tried to crash a corporate party.
This one was a wedding.
Oh, a wedding. Okay,
oh,
good.
Oh, that's better.
The reception. So when we were walking in,
just the ceremony,
the bouncers were like, are you here for the wedding? And we're like, no. And they're like, are you here for the wedding? And we're like, okay, yeah. Like, I think they like wanted us to. It was weird. So me and my three coworkers, we go in there and we had actually left a wedding reception that we were invited to. So we were already dressed up. So we're at the bar. And I think just because we're talking to each other and no one else, all of a sudden, one of the bridesmaids like looks over and starts Gross. Talking to somebody and then they come over and it was an open bar. So at this point, I think we'd already had two drinks. And I remember when she came over, I was like, all right, bottoms up. Like we got to rip and drink this. Like we're about to be evicted. And then she went up to my coworker, Nicole, and she was like, so who are you here with? She's like, I don't know. I'm a date.
Oh, it's so good. That's brilliant.
And she was like, well, of who? And she was like, I don't. Of Todd, I don't know. He knows a groom, and she was like, "What's a groom's name?" And she was like, "I think we're gonna go."
Also, Todd, stupid bridesmaid. I know everybody here, okay? And those girls are crushing my best friend's wedding, and it's really upsetting.
You know they were furious.
Ugh.
I crashed Ice-T's wedding once. Have I told that story?
No, that's a great story. That
I was at the W Hotel for a Planet of the Apes event.
Of course, you were
naturally. And they put us up at the W for this thing. And I, earlier in the day, had met Ice-T in the lobby. Like, we didn't pre-plan it. He was just there, and I was there. And I was like, holy shit, that's Ice-T. Someone take a picture. And I took a picture with him, and my friend fucked it up. It's all blurry. It's on my Facebook page. It's fine. God damn you, Evan Hoovler. But
Evan Hoovler?
Great. What are you doing hanging out with a guy named? Call him Evan Duty from now on.
Mr. Duty.
Mr. Duty.
Evan Hoovler.
But
this is what you get for hanging out with a guy named Evan Hoovler. Of course he's going to fuck up the picture. His name's Evan Hoovler. Hoovler.
Hoovler.
Hoovler.
Damn it, Hoovler. But I was like, what? That's weird. I see is just at the W. And then later in the night, I'm walking past this ballroom upstairs, and he's fucking getting married to Coco, and they're filming it for this reality show.
Yeah.
And there was no security.
I think it was Ice-T Loves Coco.
Yeah, you could just walk in. So I just walked in. And fucking Snoop Dogg was there. Bishop Don Juan was there.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, I kind of like just stood at the periph.
In the periph?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, peripheral. That's short for periphery.
Oh,
or peripheral.
Right. Thank you for clearing that
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Because I, you know, I'm busy. I don't have a lot of time. If
clearly
I say
you don't have a lot of time.
Entire words. That's just even less time that I have on my hands. So
people who use complete words are losers.
They really are. They really are.
Way too much time on their
you
hands.
You know who I thought we'd move past words? That. Jeff May.
Jeff
May joke.
That's my favorite. All right, what happens with this massacre?
Oh, this fucking massacre. So the police, they investigate it. Nothing really ever comes from it. They arrest a few different people. They arrest John Scalise and Albert Anselmi, who are close associates of Capone. Capone eventually kills them, so they don't go to prison.
No loose ends.
Nope. Jack McGurn, who was one of Capone's closest associates, he got off because his girlfriend was going to be forced to testify against him, his underage girlfriend. Uh-huh. So he drove her across state lines and married her so she couldn't be compelled to testify against him.
Every woman's dream wedding.
But she didn't need like a permission slip?
Not back then.
Not in the other state, apparently.
Shady back then. And John Scalise and Albert Anselmi were murdered along with Joseph Hoptoad Giunta.
Oh my God.
What a great name that is.
See, what the hell, Mrs. Duty? What is your problem? Just pick something.
And so no one actually ever really went to jail for this except Fred Killer Burke. And that's because when they finally caught him, he shot the cop who was pursuing him.
Oh, well.
And they managed to send him to prison on that because they had more evidence against him. And they use shitty old-timey forensic testing to confirm that two weapons found in Skelly's possession were, or Burke's possession, were the murder weapons. But they still didn't charge him with that crime.
Right, because it's then, and it's Al Capone, and he had people on the payroll. And, I mean, can you imagine being a cop back then? You pull up, and it's this Valentine's Day massacre thing.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, if I run this lead, I'm going to die. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The reason why, I mean, everybody probably knows who did what and you know, who shot who, but no one's going to say anything. It's like the rap murders
like,
that
yeah,
we covered.
Yeah, exactly like a rap murder. Everyone knows who did it, and no one will say a thing.
Yeah, Miss Duty didn't take her medication that day. Nobody's going to kill her, but they had to sit her down and just be like, you know, you're not supposed to say anything. She's like, I'm sorry. And then that was it. That's all it was. And you got to know, if you're elected to, like, carry out one of these, like, really flashy murders, like, they're going to try to kill you next. How do you not know that that's what's happening?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, going to want to shut you up.
Unless you're, like, the tall murder man who wears the uniforms.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's just afraid of him anyway. So, yeah.
So they were trying to, basically, they were trying to kill Bugs Moran, and they fucked up. That was Capone's plan. This was just supposed to be another in his long line of murdering North Side Irish gang leaders.
Yeah, it's the end of the first Godfather.
Yeah.
But except one of them goes
totally
south.
Yeah. They basically mistook another one of Moran's guys for him, and that's when they sent the killers in, and they shot everyone except the dog.
Well, yeah, nobody wants to kill Highball.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Totally.
I just, because you both, like, you live in Long Beach, right? And you did?
I mean, I'm
sure.
Yeah.
I'm clearly from the LBC.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw some Snoop Dogg references out to make everyone comfortable.
I'm with it.
Yes, it really brings a house divided to a house united.
That's the other thing she's
And we are a house divided. What are we divided over again?
We don't know. That's the best part. We're like the Hatfields and McCoys. We don't even know what we're yelling at each other anymore. We need to do a Hatfields and McCoys episode.
Oh, yeah.
We have to
That would be fantastic. Because I don't know much about it, but I know there's a ton of
I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah, let's do that.
They don't know.
They don't. I think that's what I do know, is that like at a certain point, people kind of forgot what they were actually even feuding about. We got to do that
it's
one.
It's like Israel and Palestine.
No, they know why they're upset.
I think they know. I think they have a grasp on what the problem is.
Oh.
I mean, maybe the upper hand has been different depending on what area you want to talk
about.
Wait,
why are we fighting here? It's because this is our land and you're here. Oh, is that all?
Also,
we'll leave.
Carrie, it's just like Israel and Palestine. They don't even know why they're upset anymore.
Maybe I shouldn't have come today. I don't know, you guys.
No, no.
Would they mind if I just slept in and didn't come?
I like it. I like it.
We're so happy you're back.
Thanks.
We need you. Can you imagine like a bad day at the office being like you killed seven of the wrong people?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bad. I mean, that's.
Explain that to HR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're going to penalize you.
It is coming out of your dental insurance.
Technically, we're garnishing your wages.
We talked it over, and it's going to have to go on your record. If you kill the right people for the next 2 years, it'll drop off.
All of you are getting written up. This is your first strike, all right? Just stay in line.
Is Mrs. Judy head of HR?
Of course. That's why she threatened to turn... I'm turning you all in. Oh, now look who's every... Now everybody loves Mrs. Judy. All right, I'll go back to the cops and say I didn't take my medication. Hey, cops. Cops! I was wrong. Those are nice boys.
Oh, Mrs. Judy.
I know. I love Mrs. Judy.
She's the best.
She's always in like an apron.
Yeah.
And a house dress.
Mrs. Judy.
Mrs. Judy. Fuck. What a horrible name.
I picture her in a long tattered robe.
Go on.
With curlers in her hair.
Oh, yeah.
At all times. She never takes them out.
She's a perma-curler girl.
Yeah.
She smokes a lot.
Of course. What else does she have to do?
Drinks coffee.
She's a landlord.
But with like bourbon or something in it.
Oh, yeah. There's something in that coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
Bootlegged whiskey.
She's a landlord. Do you watch Workaholics?
I love Workaholics.
I love the front yard wrestling episode. I watched it again last night. And there's a scene where Ben Stiller shows up and he's like one of the wrestling characters.
He's such a good sport.
I'm the land of this lord. I'm the lord of this land.
Yes.
He's the landlord.
Workaholics is... Workaholics is everything that I liked about college.
Yeah, Workaholics. I
feel like I knew so many guys like that in college.
I never went to college.
You really?
Mm-mm. Well, I went for like a semester and then my house burned
ICC?
Down. I did. I can't spell.
Junior
That's what
college.
That stands for.
Were we going to do
something? Were you going to touch fingers?
Whoa. You guys, this was weird.
When did this start?
Just
I haven't seen that since E.T.
Listen, they just
speaking
ET'd,
of Spielberg.
They just ET'd in front of me. But the best part was the confidence that Carrie had going into the E.T. Theater of the Mind. She was like, that's what it stands for. Confident E.T. proposition.
I thought you were just pointing at me.
No.
But no.
Confident physical... confirmation.
There was an extra lean in cueing at him that he had to then also reciprocate.
And he reluctantly did so.
Jesus, that was so weird to watch.
Oh my God.
Adam had like the most like, okay.
Again, next time, if you don't need me here,
no.
Completely fine.
We definitely need you here.
And I mean, you're already here and we're recording the next one. So.
Yeah. I'm going to shit my pants. That was so funny.
You're going to duty your pants?
Mrs. Duty in the house.
Oh, we're going to call you Mrs. Duty forever if you do that.
Dude, that's the best.
Dude.
That's the best nickname. Oh, that was stupid. But I'm fine being called Mrs. Duty. I don't care.
I've been called worse.
I really have. My last name is Cut. You could do a lot with that.
Yeah, like take out that T and put an N.
Yeah, that was the one. They got to that finally in high school. In the beginning, it was just butt. When I'm on the phone with like... customer service. They're like, what's your last name? I'm like, Cut. There's a pause. I'm like, it's spelled like butt, but with a C. And there's always this pause. I'm like, I'm serious. C-U-T-T. I still have to spell it, but.
But there's two ways to spell butt.
Yeah, no, nobody thinks that.
Yeah, nobody does.
Nobody thinks that. The first thing they think is, oh, there's that junior college education coming out.
No, I'm glad we have these ashamed. Foam things on the mics now so I can hide behind it.
Oh, man. I just want to suggest that the next time anybody has a moment of celebration that they that they really go for this ET thing because it
feels good.
It feels right.
It takes focus. You two have to really be into your celebration.
You're hungover like I am from going to a Grammy party last night. My trajectory is a little shaky.
Yeah, it's not like a high five. You got a whole hand to lean on with that. You get like with a ET moment, something reminiscent
it go wrong.
Of what Da Vinci was trying to achieve. Oh, no, that's Michelangelo. The Sistine Chapel, mm-hmm. God and Adam touching hands.
Yeah, it could turn. Yeah, it could really. If you both have crazy fingernails, one could get lodged under the other. That's like
ew.
A terror situation.
Wow, that's like gross.
It's like torture.
That would. You guys, I just hit my face on the microphone. So bad.
It was fun to watch.
That reminded me of college.
Anyway. So, yeah, they never solved the Valentine's Day massacre is what we've been getting at.
I don't think any... that's my point, though. I don't think there's a reason to solve the Valentine's Day massacre. And
yeah, who cares now?
Here's what I want to know. This is the thing I find the most fascinating about this is how unremarkable it is. I didn't mean to use that word, but it is. No, I mean, in the world of... The St. Valentine's Day massacre is exactly what you think of when you think of the mob. It's like, oh yeah, there's a bunch of guys in suits outside getting shot by Tommy guns. Like, that's what you think. And so since this happened this kind of thing happened so many times, I'm just fascinated why this is the story that persists through time. Because it has so many cliche elements to it. I don't know if that's why or if it started all of these cliche elements. I'm curious about that because I don't know. I don't have like a mafia history. I know more about like criminology than I do about the actual life of organized crime in America.
I wonder if it was just the number of victims at once. It was a really brutal crime. Like they shot them so many times, and then the two dudes dressed as police went and shot a couple of them in the face with shotguns also.
That's
true.
These are my two favorite bullet points. The two men dressed as police then fired shotgun blasts into the faces of John May.
John May joke.
Wah, wah.
And James Clark.
Whatever.
All of the victims, with the exception of John May,
were dressed in their best clothes.
Right? That's all so of
them,
Jeff May.
All of them except for Mr. May were dressed very well, as was the custom of the Northside Gang while doing work. Jeff came to work underdressed and died for it.
He was the mechanic.
Oh, that's right.
I bet even the mechanics looked nice back then. But anyway, that's the part that I'm interested in. Like, you know, why is this case the one that we always hear about? Because, I mean, I've heard about this case many times.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know the case, if you just say, oh, it involved Al Capone, you can probably imagine what this means in your mind if you hear St. Valentine's Day Massacre and Al Capone.
Right.
That's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. Like, you get it basically right.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't have to phone a friend on what that meant. Like,
All
right, bunch of dudes died. So, anyway, that's just, if there's anybody out there that has a love of, like, organized crime history, I'd be interested in hearing what it is about this case that made it, was it the beginning of what we all know these crimes to look like, or what is it? Was it, like, is it the red herring of the organized crime history world? Like, I don't know. Just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was probably just the number and the victims. Like, they weren't like, well, I think the mistaken identity part probably made it kind of notorious too.
Because it's just a big mistake.
Because because it made sense for Al Capone to try and kill the leader of that gang, but to go in and just kill all these like random people who like killing these people wasn't going to change anything in terms of the gang situation. Like, he didn't kill the leader like he was supposed to. So I don't know if maybe it was just like the body count and like the savagery of it, but
it's probably Mrs. Duty.
Probably Mrs. Duty. Just
Mrs. Duty Boo.
Mrs. Duty Boo.
Making it sound like more than it is. That old Duty.
She spins a good tale, that Mrs. Duty.
She sure does. So this was fun. We should we should get out of here so we can record the next episode.
You know what everyone should do, and I'm glad I'm announcing it at the end of the episode, is they should listen to this if they're going to take anybody out on a first date. Because I feel like this would really help separate if they're into this, or if you're not into this and they're not it. I'm just saying this would be a good conversation starter.
Yeah, it really would.
So you're welcome. And please name your first child Carrie Adam Caitlin.
Duty.
Duty, baby Duty.
And take your date to a vegan restaurant and eat dessert first.
Dessert first.
Oh, of course, of course, you pedestrian.
Oh, Sundown.
Fucking vegan.
I'm assuming her name was like Sundown.
It probably was. By the way, if you're a vegan, I get it. It's fine. Just don't, just date another vegan. Don't impose your vegan.
And don't talk to anyone.
Yeah, don't.
Don't say anything.
And if the person you're dating is randomly buying an animal out of impulse, they're going to break up with you pretty soon.
Yeah.
They're desperate. It's a sign for help. It's a distress signal.
Impulse animal purchase. Mm-hmm. Always a bad sign.
The dog's still around.
When Paris Hilton got in all this trouble for like impulse buying a chihuahua, I was like, I mean, I've been there. I don't know who she's dating, but I know what's going on.
You and Paris Hilton have so much in common.
Clearly.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
We've got an entrepreneurial mindset.
Exactly.
We love animals.
Yeah.
I have a best friend that I create work with all the time.
But then her and Nicole Richie fell out. I don't want that to happen
That's
to us.
That's not going
to
happen to us. Because remember, I don't have anything in common with Paris Hilton. So I think we're okay.
You like the color pink.
I don't really wear pink, though.
True.
Do I like pink?
No, you like fall colors.
Thank you.
Okay.
How's it going, Adam?
It's just going great. It's going great.
Adam won't edit that out at all.
No, that won't be in the outtake show. I started doing an outtake show, though.
I love that you did that.
Oh, fun.
When
does that air?
We just put one up on the subscription site a couple days ago. No pressure. You don't have to subscribe to hear it or anything. It's like, fine.
No,
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Listen, Carrie's like a heat-seeking missile when it comes to passive aggression. If you toss it towards, she will gravitate towards it. So you can't just throw that at her.
No.
Get Adam one for the road.
Oh, we did it.
Honestly, it makes me really uncomfortable.
Me and Carrie just fingered.
I know. That's what I was thinking in my mind.
I feel like we should call it something else.
No, I think I feel like fingering taken?
Finger diddling?
Diddling? You just made it way worse.
Yeah, you made it significantly
worse. How'd you
add
a waddle to that? Okay, we're good.
Okay. Do we have anything to plug?
We have an Under the Influence show coming up.
March 3rd. Performing Under the Influence.
And all of us are on it.
Where's it at?
Hollywood Hotel.
It's going to be really fun.
I haven't been there.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Nicest bathrooms in all of Hollywood.
Jeff May's second PY?
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to... This will be his third, but I don't think he's going to get... I don't think he's going to get...
I am going to give him UI. Rohypnol.
Yeah, I'm taking fentanyl.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm not. I did that. I'm not. That's what killed Prince.
Oh.
You took fentanyl?
Yeah.
Wow.
Carrie's fine.
I mean, I'd probably take one if someone
had one. My insides are like a middle finger. Yeah. But I'm still here.
Yeah, she's still here. So yeah, we have Performing Under the Influence on March 3rd. Where do people get tickets? Is it at the door?
It's free.
It's a free show.
Yep.
I hope you come out. I would love to see you. I will be under the influence of something, so just bear in mind that I'm maybe in a different headspace, but I can't wait to meet you. Also, we've got a podcast called White Wine True Crime.
We do
that. We every other Wednesday we post. We have a Valen Crimes episode posting this same day that this is posting. So,
do you talk about the Valentine's Day massacre?
No.
We're going to be talking about a documentary called Crazy Love, which we are.
Have you heard that one?
That is one of my favorite documentaries.
Yeah,
we are very excited.
What
about
a twist!
It. Yeah, it's going to be a thing. We can't. Plus, we're going to be reading emails and messages that we've gotten we have a backlog of incredible messages from everybody. So it's our second annual Valen Crimes Day. So
nice.
That's what we're going to be doing.
Yep.
You can find us at White Wine True Crime on Facebook. And then on Twitter, it's at WWT Crime. And then you can find me on Twitter at Bossy Matilda. Carrie.
Carrie Martin, 722. That's my birthday.
You just put on like the Coast 103.5 voice.
I did.
Martin.
That is your birthday?
Yeah, July 22nd.
I asked if it was because of her birthday last week. And you were like, not even close, Adam.
What did you think it was for?
Because you've always joked about how, like, you're like, I don't know, it's just 22. That's what you've said 100 times.
Oh, that's my Instagram. But my Twitter is 722.
Adam, I feel like you could give me a pass on this, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever. I didn't need... Why did I even ask? It's not none of my business. It's honestly none of my business. This is my fault. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Carrie, let's finger.
God, just make it stop.
We did it. Oh, we did it.
Oh, I'm so stressed out.
What do I have going on? I'm also at that PUI show. Mm-hmm. I'm at Castle Wolfen Show, February 22nd, where I am headlining, and then I have to sing karaoke after.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
That'll be exciting. And, subscribe. I don't know. This is not a free episode. Yeah, it is. So subscribe on connectpal.com/unpopularopinion to hear all the episodes of this show. And follow us on all the socials. Instagram, unpops.podcast. On Twitter, Unpops. Woo. Facebook, Unpops Network. We're Unpops on YouTube. Follow me at Adam Todd Brown on Twitter and Instagram. And
yeah.
All the places.
All those places.
You don't have numbers after?
No, because I don't know my birthday.
Oh, he is adopted.
You don't have one.
No.
Your hat from a pod.
I would still have a birth. I'd have a hatch day.
A glistening egg.
So gross. It's worse than fingering. All right, we should get out of here. This was fun. Say goodbye, Carrie.
Goodbye. That's a variation of goodbye and boo.
That's the most normal goodbye you've said, and it caught Caitlin the most off guard. I don't.
Just goodbye. I gotta go.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.
Oh, I love you. The phone.